Welcome to the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and Radio Show infused with hip hop. I am Wood.
Made daily. With organic, farm to table, localized, neuralized, sterilized, available on Amazon, shipped worldwide, not available on Sundays, but now available on thebeastradio.com. Broken Pencil Logic. You stay classy, internet. I'm Suave Burgundy.
Wishing all of our Beast Radio family, friends, colleagues, partners in rhyme and crime and hip hop and all that good stuff a very happy Thanksgiving. Mr. Burgundy.
Yeah.
Let me take this opportunity to also wish you a happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Thank you kindly. I'd like to send a happy Thanksgiving shout out to all of my constituents, all of the members of the cabinet, all close conspirators or confidants, all of you that are a part of the parade that is political status.
As DJ of the, I'm sorry, as the official DJ of the campaign, I must say that on Survivor Series Sunday, it was great to see you as we put together one of the greatest works, another phenomenal feat of our time. Super Swavetoberfest plus
super
the mixtape.
And I do have an announcement based on that. Congratulations to all of you out here who will be receiving yet another gift in your digital stocking Monday. Let's look on our calendars and see what Monday is. Monday, November 30th. Year of our Lord.
Year of our Lord.
2020. I say year of our Lord.
Year of our Lord.
2020.
Amen.
Which is also Cyber Monday and also a Mayor Music Monday. You will be able to stream Super Swavetoberfest Plus on all digital platforms because of the greatness that is encompassed in everything that we do.
This is a full-blown production.
It is.
It did not go according to my plans, but the finished product was way better.
You know this. It never goes according to either one of our plans. It just ends up a certain way.
All in divine timing. And your ears will not be disappointed. Speaking of in digital space, Swavetoberfest 2, the EP, available now on all streaming platforms.
All streaming platforms.
Featuring the breakout, the seemingly the seminal breakout record on this project entitled
Pension.
Pension.
Go talk your featuring the legendary Danger One. Now go on talk your talk.
When Suave calls, Danger One must get in his bag. And the bag was deep on this one. And the fruits will be heard by eardrums worldwide.
Now he gonna cuss and fuss me 8 ways from Sunday in the text messages while we're trying to figure out what this is gonna sound like.
Whenever we collectively do interviews, I swear to you, I'm gonna tell all the stories.
You can tell all the stories you want to because I have rebuttals. Now we'll just be fine, and it always comes out pristine. Just trust the process. Don't worry. The bank will let us slide.
You're going to see three sides of the story verbally. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to hear my side, you're going to hear Suave's side, and the right side will come between the both of those. And none of us are going to be lying about it at all. There'll be no exaggerations.
We'll both completely exaggerate, but the truth is in there.
It's somewhere. This is episode 94.
Undertaker versus Undertaker.
Brian Lee versus
described Mark Calloway versus Brian Bulldozer Brian Lee.
Yo, let me start. Let me go back here real quick. This past Saturday, I did take a trip down south to H-Town. You feel me? I'm talking about
H-Town. Stay down.
And I met up with Tory Walker, co-owner of thebeastradio.com. I hadn't seen him in quite some time due to this COVID climate.
In the near future, you'll be able to hear Swavetoberfest 2 and Super Swavetoberfest Plus on thebeastradio.com.
So we're having a Black Friday blackout. So if you're listening to this on thebeastradio.com, just understand that sometime in the next 12 to 24 hours, you're just going to hear randomry from the Beast programming. Myself, DJ Dark Fader, we're going to go into there and just load up a bunch of just Beast nonsense, whether it be mix shows, whether it be the Going Way Back show. I hate to say that All Over Sports will not be a part of this blackout simply because they are a time sensitive show. However, Mr. 700 Caution,
Hundos,
is all over super, super, super Swabtoberfest. Oh, these applause are being gratuitous. Like
The
crowd getting crazy up in this thing, man. So
Hundos got down on this tape. Like, yeah.
Yeah. We're men of a certain age doing certain things.
Shout out to Hello, I'm Toad.
Shout out to, shouts out to Picasso. Picasso Jones. Also on the tape. Shouts out to
I don't think Pick made this tape.
No, he didn't. This is a shout out for Men of a Certain Age. But on the tape, though, we will give a shout out to Rory Mitchell, the soulful stylings of Rory Mitchell. We also give a special thank you to Don Claude Van Ham.
Yes, Don Claude Van Ham and his scoundrel contributions, which is custom in our land, added a great deal of character to Super Swabtoberfest Plus.
It makes me feel a certain kind of way when I do work that includes Don Claude, considering I was part of the zoo when the zoo wasn't even the zoo, but it was still the zoo. The cages were open at the zoo.
Jesus.
Yo, enough about us, to take a phrase from an interview you had, waxing poetic about ourselves. We did have a pay-per-view.
I wax all I want to. Because it makes it smooth.
While we were in post-production for Super, 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 Super Swabtoberfest Plus, the mixtape, Survivor Series was on, and I had the pleasure of being graced in the presence of Swab Burgundy while we watched this pay-per-view. The first one we watched together probably in over a year, and the first time we've actually been in the same room at the same time since quarantine lockdown.
Yeah, since March at least.
Craziness to say that.
As a matter of fact, the last time we were in the same room together, we were doing this show, and they were shutting down the NBA season
as we were recording.
And they were stopping games, like, literally, right then and there, getting people out.
We kicked off the show with the announcement. We had the TV up.
Yeah, they canceled the season as we were starting recording.
craziness. Survivor Series 2020 showed us the traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series matches, and we weren't too far off from our predictions.
I think we only may have missed on one or two.
And Raw swept SmackDown on the men's side.
Now that we told you was going to happen.
Street Profits did get over on the New Day. We told you that was going to happen.
Yeah, I guessed the other way. You guessed Street Profits. So that's the one I got wrong.
And it was a damn good match. I did go back and rewatch it because I was occupied, but I did go back and watch it. Damn good match.
Yes, it was.
Sam Zayn versus Bobby Lashley. Of course, we knew Bobby was going to win. And this match deserves way more credit because Sami Zayn is so entertaining, and Bobby Lashley is just so fucking. There we go. Here we go donating.
Get in the college fund. Hurry up. Yeah. There you go. Get in there for the children.
He's just so entertaining, man. And with that,
price just went up.
Shout out to Ron Murray.
Ron Dunn.
And was it Sammy claiming vertigo during the match?
Yes, he got delayed suplexed and claimed he had vertigo.
Sasha Banks.
I was impressed by that.
Sasha defeated Asuka. We definitely said that was going to happen because it doesn't hurt Asuka to lose. The women's Survivor Series match. We knew Lana was going to win because she wasn't going to get into the match. But there was some brutality in that, and it was a really good match still. Roman and Drew, man. Match of the night, without a doubt. And
told you it was going to happen.
And
Roman ain't losing no time soon.
With all the false finishes, I'm literally stopping production, looking at the screen, and I said, How does he win? How does he win? Here comes Jay. After Jay was banished from the building because of his cousin, here he comes to redeem himself. And I said, he's going to win with a nut shot. Sure enough.
Right shot. After that, on cue. Kablam! Right in the sack.
Now, the moment of the night, easy, was Undertaker's final farewell. We had suited and booted Shane McMahon, Big Show, JBL, Jeff Hardy, Mick Foley, the Godfather. Godfather's suit was like no other I had ever seen on him. Shouts out to his tailor for that one. The Godwins in full overalls, which I'll give them a pass simply because they're wearing overalls. Savio Vega,
Rikishi. It's the Hillbilly Jim rule.
Yeah. Savio Vega, Rikishi, Kevin Nash, Booker T.
No. You said his name wrong. Savio Vega.
Savio Vega. Big Daddy Cool, Big Diesel, Big Sexy Kevin Nash, King Booker, Shawn Michaels, The Nature Boy Ric Flair, Triple H, all came out suited and booted. The last one to come out in full costume with flame, hellfire, and brimstone, and mask was Kane.
That's unfortunate.
The look on Kane's face walking to the ring...
If looks could kill, he would have murdered you.
And as we found out later, apparently that was a rib on Kane, as Kane was secluded from everybody else that day and was told that everybody else was going to be in costume. So he dresses up in costume. The politician, the one person in the political power of all of these people in the ring, and he's the only one that comes out in costume. And the look on his face could write a story on a white wall in a subway of New York City.
Should have been paying attention.
And
I can't feel sorry for you in these situations. You have to protect yourself at all times. Protect yourself at all times. That's it.
There's either you rib or you get ribbed, and he got ribbed.
Like, he's not, the Undertaker wasn't coming to chokeslam 20 people. So why are you dressed for competition?
And of course, they cleared the ring for Vince McMahon, who cleared the ring for The Undertaker. And
because you have to clear the ring for Vince McMahon.
This is
you
true.
You could give him COVID.
This is very, very true. And
there's entirely too many people in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they didn't social distance for that.
Yeah. And it was good. It was good, considering this should have happened in front of a crowd. For obvious reasons, absolutely, it couldn't. It should have happened at Mania. For obvious reasons, it couldn't. This was a very good, not great, but a very good send-off one last time. And
now check this out. Am I the only person, and I'm speaking just, you know, outwardly, and then pencil pushers, if you feel the same way, you know, there's all the, matter of fact, there's lots of places you can let us know. At Broken Pencil BC on everything.
Everything.
Everything. And we're going to hit them with the hashtags. Broken Pencil Logic. Mark my words. You can't write this. Folk Life Shouty. Which one am I missing?
Fuck the casual fan.
FTCF.
And with
and
the shit.
And I'm missing one.
With the shit.
Yeah, with the shit. Ding, 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 ding. Advance to the lightning round. But yeah. Am I the only person that was like slightly underwhelmed by the fact that they didn't shoot an angle with this? I swear to God, I was waiting and hoping for some interaction with the Fiend.
You're still, I mean, that was, it seems logical. The fact that this whole story with Randy Drew and the Fiend, and this it's going to end up with Randy and the Fiend in some type of redemption match from that cluster of a match from 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's cool and all. Yeah, you do that on your Monday nights. Do your Googles on Monday. I'm talking about Sunday night, where you and I have had the conversation on numerous occasions that The Undertaker is so old school that he's always going to go out on his back because of his old school roots, right?
Right. Yeah, agreed. Yes. It didn't happen against AJ. It didn't happen.
But who knew that was the end for him?
He did.
At this point, I mean, you watched... you watch any of the documentaries on Undertaker, he's not sure. He's not sure now. Look, didn't we just talk about like 3-4 episodes ago that there was talk about if you could get a crowd for WrestleMania 37 that John Cena and The Undertaker were under consideration.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we've talked like about it ad nauseum.
Like I said, he ain't sure right now. Even, well, he might be sure because there's no crowd. That makes that, it makes that decision a, much easier. But physically, the moment he feels like he can, he might try. And Vince will not stop him.
On the flip side, on the flip side, let's just toot our own horns for a second here. We were winners of the Undertaker Tournament Office Pool. What we said was the greatest Undertaker match of all time, turns out, was his favorite match of all time. An Instagram,
we know better.
An Instagram conversation with Snoop Dogg over the weekend, he let it be known that WrestleMania 25 against Shawn Michaels was his favorite match, and why it was his favorite match.
Who you going to trust, me or your lying eyes?
We've been doing this for 94 episodes now, plus 90, we're giving you 94, but it was more than that. We've been doing
that word again. Plus.
super. Which and we're looking at episode 100 as being super. We can't divulge any details. We just know that we're planning some things, and if they come to fruition, it will be super. Now,
yeah.
At any rate, speaking of Undertaker. So last week we went into detail on this whole Zelina Vega thing, and of course it was editorial. We had our numbers, but no, we don't have any contacts backstage at the E. We're just going off our own speculations.
Before you get into that part, am I wrong for wanting that? Like, if you're gonna leave, pass the torch on the way out.
No, you're not wrong at all. The thing is, if you do it with the Fiend, you better have a 3-year plan in place to where he shows up and is victorious on multiple occasions with being minimized damage to him on a professional level in terms of losses in the ring or moments of vulnerability, especially now since he has Alexa Bliss with him. There's a lot more to lose now because you have now two stars in a position to be built to be bigger than ever before. Still, even with all the damage you've done with the Fiend, you have the opportunity right now to make him as big as we thought he should have been 2 years ago when he debuted.
But here's my whole thing. In that reality where you're trying to reestablish, because you completely jerked off the momentum you had when it first started. Any sort of interaction, whether it be a passing of the torch, a shooting of an angle, whatever it might be, had they had interaction right then, it would have done more for the character of the Fiend than anything WWE creative has done for that character in the last, 18 months?
And let's keep it a buck and a half. You could have done something cinematic even in the Thunderdome, where you had Bray Wyatt come out, possibly shake Undertaker's hand and thank him, and finish off with the Fiend putting him on his back.
Look, okay, let me tell you how you could have done it. And it would have been the flyest. It'd have been some of the creepiest and fly shit ever.
Oh, no, well, speaking of creepy, we got a Paul Bearer hologram, but go ahead.
That was exactly where I was going to put it. When Undertaker goes down to salute and they show the Paul Bearer hologram, let it flicker in and out, man, with the Fiend hologram.
There you go. That's all you.
That's all I'm saying. Had we done that, we'd have had let me get into the scholarship fund. We'd have had an oh shit moment.
Big time.
And then you'd have kind of set up a situation where, you know, the Undertaker's a little shaken, but he still finishes the farewell, gets ready to walk out. And as he's walking out, then the room turns red as if the Fiend is entering, and then you shut off all the lights, it goes black, you hear the Fiend laugh, that's the end of the feed.
And then
price just went up
instantly.
That's all I'm saying. Like, you didn't have to do anything physical. You don't ever really have to have a match unless you want to shoot a cinematic one, which, you know, hey, whatever. Why are we not trying? It's one thing to try and fail. That happens every Monday, every Friday. But what is it that we just don't try? Why don't we try anymore? That's the part. Like, you can throw spitballs against the wall. You can, you know, you want to see what sticks. But to not make any effort at all.
It kind of harkens back to what Dave Chappelle was saying in Unforgiven, where the people who were in charge at the time that he was employed with Comedy Central are dead or gone from the building. And same thing with the E. The people who are writing this stuff, the ones who matter are either dead or gone from the building. So you have this perennial carousel of dipshits.
Price just went up.
And
I want them to go back to the old school, writing around the pool, around Vince's pool, because this new vibe ain't getting it.
I'm
not here for that. Like, you could still have a writing team, maybe half as big as what you have now. But why do you not have more actual wrestlers involved? Like, okay, in the sport of football, about 80% of the either the commentators or the halftime or post game and pregame show host are what?
Former athletes of the sport.
Ex-NFL players, because they provide you an insight that even you as a sports fanatic may not be able to understand until it is broken down by them because they played the game.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because not necessarily in most cases, I'd probably say 99% of the time they are ex-NFL players, even if only 50% of them you were household names. But at bare minimum, they played college ball.
I mean, usually you're going to get like a panel of four or five, maybe six, depending on the show. But it's going to be, if it's a panel of five, it's four ex-NFL players and one host.
Who still has some experience.
Who has a lot of broadcasting experience. Like, you see CBS, it's Jim Brown. And then it'll be like Boomer Esiason and Tony Gonzalez and whoever else is on there. Or
Kurt Menefee. You know,
Kurt Menefee, or on Fox, where it's Bradshaw, Jim Brown, Howie, Jerry, Strahan, the whole group. Like, there's pro athletes and or coaches, and then there's, you know, a host to tie it all together. So why at this point in the creative process do we not have more ex-wrestlers with some type of creative input who can put together stories because they've been in stories before, and then have someone as a figurehead to just tie off? I hate to make it sound like heroin use, but to tie off. So we can get this dope.
I'm going to tell you one person who I think would benefit from being in the writing room.
I would financially benefit, hopefully, from being in the writing room. Although I've heard some things that are different.
We would hope so. At the same time, I think one person who could benefit the industry, and specifically the E, from being in the writing room, just because of his history with the people that he's trained, is Hustler Rip Rogers. And I don't know if you ever heard him in an interview. He has a pretty foul mouth. But sometimes the truth comes with love and anger. And if you have that kind of a mind in that room, telling these youngsters who don't know anything about what made this thing popular, what made this thing household, like, you can come from what you did at a soap opera doesn't translate well to an audience who's a diehard audience who has been with this product for 30 years. There's a reason why you're not at the soap opera anymore. And I can guarantee you, it's not because they wouldn't pay you anymore. It's because they got cut, so they didn't have to pay you anymore.
I want better. I mean, we've stated our case for a collective 94 episodes about wanting better. And at this point, I am growing weary of asking for better. But you can't tell me that you have all the members of the clique under some sort of deal, whether they're trainers at NXT or under a Legends deal or whatever the case. You can't tell me that you can't put the clique in a room with a bowl of weed and come up with 82 weeks of stellar television.
Yeah,
matter of fact,
especially now, since you have competition,
we won't put a bowl of weed in there. But I'm pretty sure that brain trust, that collective, can execute.
Surprise.
BSK.
Surprise. It's CBD.
You know what I'm saying? Take the BSK crew and put them in a room. Undertaker's contributing to the Fiend character as is, which is another reason I don't understand why no one pulled a trigger. No one even suggested it.
Savio has been in Puerto Rico for 20 years.
For good reason, apparently. His services must not be needed here.
Carlito. Carlito, you can't bury the hatchet with Carlito and bring him in on the creative side as an agent or something. Speaking of agents, Fit Finley's back.
Shout out to Fit Finley. I would assume he'll probably be back to work with the women's division because that was his forte before he left. However, if I'm Carlito, I'm not leaving Puerto Rico to come back here and take orders from you. You couldn't treat me right the first time I was here. And now I'm back home where the money is plentiful and I am a god here. Why am I crossing the border to come back?
He is Shane McMahon with more talent in Puerto
Rico.
Why am I
jumping into international waters to come deal with your nonsense? You have alienated me.
We could keep going on for hours on this nonsense, but let's keep the agenda rolling. Going back on Taker, a week ago we talked about Zelina Vega and her issues with her termination with WWE and the why. But we get the most.
Wait, is that Savio's daughter?
No.
See, that could have. See, somebody. I would have called Savio and I'd have had him show up. I'd have made her the daughter of Savio Vega.
That would have been a hell of a storyline. But no, Selena Vega's father, the way he passed away, was very public. There, that would be a slap in everybody's face for that. So, no, I don't think that was a good idea.
Not Savio's. Then Savio's niece.
Yeah, something. Uncle Savio. Yeah, that would have been dope.
Yes, see? Uncle Savio.
But on the most blasphemous thing that anyone could ever see that fast afterwards, we see The Undertaker being able to provide you with your own personal cameo, limited run, 30 cameos for $1,000 a piece.
A quick 30 racks.
And we answered a question just simply by looking at the flyer. Who okayed this? In the bottom right-hand corner of the flyer is the WWE logo.
So, first thing I thought when I saw this, I'm like, wow, that seems like a huge slap in the face to the locker room.
Indeed.
Secondly, I started thinking, how much of this $1,000 fee per cameo is The Undertaker taking home? Is this a 70-30 split favor him? Is it a 50-50 split? Or is it 70-30 favor
the E?
McMahon land.
Or is it a...
I don't want to call it the E anymore. We can't call it the E anymore because it's not entertaining. It's McMahon land.
What if it was a 100-0 on either side? On either side.
In the world I live in, I don't believe that would happen.
We live in the same world, sir. However, we've already come to terms that we're in a snow globe. None of this is real, and WWE is bizarro land.
At no point is either of the parties involved doing that for free.
Dare to be surprised. We just know we haven't heard any terms of it. We just know that that's out there. That's just a question, just to see if we can get an answer somehow, some way, with the next few weeks, or if we ever get an answer at all.
Because what I sort of feel like with that is that our now Mark Calloway decided they did that to prevent Mark Calloway from doing it on his own.
Which,
because if he did it on his own, he could get a stack easily per cameo or per whatever and not have to give anybody anything. So it's like, hey, we'll set it up. We'll take care of everything. You go ahead and shoot him. We'll do the 30 that we're going to do. And we'll break this down either 50-50, 70-30, whatever, 60-40, however.
We already saw what happens when he tried to do something on his own. Remember All Out in Vegas, the very first one where he was supposed to be at the podcast convention?
Starcast,
thank you. He was supposed to be in Starcast 2, and that got pulled the week of the actual event.
it got pulled immediately as soon as The Undertaker was announced. They're like, oh no, F this. Cancel that. We got a WrestleMania program for you. Let's just go ahead and let's fix this. Let's get as far away from them as possible. Completely. Get away from them. Come over here. Let's talk about it. Here's some money. Let's go walk and talk, but get away from them.
I just...
Conrad about to get that super bag with that.
That would have been the end of him being the mortgage guy.
Had he pulled that off, we'd have went to Vegas. Because we were talking about going anyway, but dead ass, we'd have gone to Vegas.
Yeah, that was it. That was the one. That's a live or die moment right there. And what happened what happened in Vegas would end up on the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and Radio Show Infused with Hip Hop. There's all that right there.
That part. So for that reason, I know for a fact neither side is doing this for free.
And simple things like that will help us be able to convey to you that when we tell you the
price just went up,
it really means that the
price just went up.
So at any rate, there was a lawsuit that WWE had with Saudi Arabia having to do with the dealings in Saudi Arabia, to which they settled out of court for $39 million. And here's a quote in relation to the settlement. Quote, WWE noted in a press release that the company believes that resolving this matter is the right business decision and that it is prudent to end their protracted an uncertain class action process. The lawsuit claimed that senior level executives sold more than $280 million worth of shares at, quote, fraud inflated prices, unquote. The company was accused of withholding information concerning the progress of their broadcasting deal in Saudi Arabia and their plans to expand to the Middle East. This is according to Ringside News. Funny how all this comes off the heels of all of the defections of talent who decided that they would not be going to Saudi Arabia having to do directly with the treatment of the Saudi Arabian government or hierarchy following the killing of a U.S. journalist over in Saudi Arabia for detracting against the Saudi Arabian hierarchy. Is this money fighting money? Is this just all this is here?
I want to know what this means for Mansoor. That's the only important thing. What does this mean for Mansoor?
We won't know anything about Mansoor until travels open back up, because I don't think he's in Orlando.
We won't know anything about Mansoor ever, because this is over. See, I wondered what the money play was with this. Like, yeah, it's a paid show. Yeah, you guys are a traveling circus, for the right amount, you'll fly anywhere. That's as old as the wrestling business itself. But I was like, you keep going in the social climate that we're in, and would have kept going had it not been for a couple of snafus. What was the play that made this relationship even worthwhile? And now you see it. Selling stock prices at an inflated rate to boost...
Price just went up!
to boost the overall financial standing of the company. So now when they get to report that we have, you know, record profits, or we're X number of dollars overshooting our potential, what we had potentially outlined to make this quarter, you know how that happened. So now when the stock gets unloaded and then it plummets, say, man, these people are going to jail for a lot less.
Martha Stewart, you know, being one of them.
That conversation we had about stock getting dumped a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
Now it makes more sense.
Yeah. This wow.
So you're dumping an inflated stock, you know, at X number of shares. Yeah, I'm finna get liquid. Didn't I tell you she finna get liquid right quick?
Man, incredible and incredulous at the same damn time.
Fam, between Saudi Arabia and Fox, it ain't safe to get Titan Towers after a while. They finna be shooting through the windows.
Moving on, do we care about the fifth member of the SmackDown Survivor Series team? Because we had a mixtape. We had a mixtape about who it could have been and who would have made it. We saw Big E accompany the New Day, and that was all we saw from Big E on Sunday. Otis ended up being the fifth member of the team.
So why do we bring up the New Day again? So we were given the somewhat janky explanation that the New Day was separated so that Big E could flourish in a singles push.
And we haven't seen him bust a grape since he got busted through a windshield.
The last two major pay-per-views he's been absent from. Our knowledge, he's not hurt.
You know what's sad? Well, it's not even really sad because it's actually pretty cool, but it's crazy. You know who benefited the most from Big E single push?
Xavier Woods.
No. Jey Uso. Remember, this whole push started with a feud between Big E and Sheamus, and it was a fatal four-way match to determine the number one contender for the WWE Universal Championship. And Jey Uso was an alternate. He was an audible call because Big E was hurt from being put through a windshield by Sheamus. This man has been pushed to the top of the card, feuding with Daniel Bryan, feuding with his own cousin over the belt twice. And in the meantime, we have not seen Big E at all, except for accompanying the New Day. The most monumental thing he's done since then was accompanying New Day to the ring. What are we doing here?
Ruining Big E. Like, you could have just left the New Day together and still gotten a Big E singles push and just move him to Raw. Y'all need that entertainment value anyway. Now, I agree Jey Uso has benefited. I figure the reason I said Xavier Woods is because he's been doing a lot more talking lately. He's been doing a lot more working in the ring, and his value is shooting way up. But I get what you're saying.
Let me keep it funky. Just most of the work that he's done before he left and even with him coming back has been on the microphone. Not to say that I'm not discounting his work in the ring, because his work in the ring is miraculous. It's stellar. He's been doing this since 2008, 2009 in TNA, from what I can see on television. But the fact that his mic level is, his mic work is like he's almost God level with his mic work, and he knows it. He's in his bag. They don't give him anything. I'm sure
hence the new thing he added to his resume, hosting a game show on G4.
Shouts out to that. That's big money energy right there for him.
He's using the name Xavier Woods, so I wonder if WWE's in his pockets with that.
I hope not. Man, I hope not. But even still, if something were to happen and they were to release him from his contract, or he was to be terminated or what have you, guarantee
his future secured.
Austin Creed has a home on the G4 network. Guaranteed. Yeah,
his future is totally secured. If he just sat at home and played Twitch, now that's when you can use the analogy stankin'. Completely stankin'. Water jugs of urine on the floor, full gamer mode.
Yo,
cans of Red Bull strewn all over the place.
Speaking of outside of traditional WWE, but still keeping it with wrestling talent haphazardly, WWE Hall of Famer Mike Tyson is scheduled to scheduled to box Roy Jones Jr. this Saturday, November the 28th. Speaking of dates this week, let me stop real quick. Happy second birthday to my grandson, Omarion.
Look out.
You know what I'm saying? Also, happy 20th birthday to JBL, Fruit of My Loins, a.k.a. Jeremiah, a.k.a. Danger 2, who'll be 20 years old on the 28th. You know what I'm saying?
Turn up.
Holiday season. Tis a celebrate. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. Have you seen the rules for this match?
I saw them just recently, and it was like, oh.
They literally put the money back in my pocket. So.
I mean, bruh, here's the thing. We are in a content-starved nation because we're supposed to be, using my giant air quotes, supposed to be quarantined. So this is a climate where people will pay top dollar for any form of entertainment because they're stuck at home. why would you even remotely put the concept into the air that nobody can get knocked out?
So
that you're basically paying for a charity exhibition.
The price just went down. So this is the California Athletic Commission. Go ahead.
I swear to God, I would not say anything about the rules and people not being able to get knocked out until right at bell time. You would have already paid for the pay-per-view. I already have your money. Now you know can't nobody get knocked out.
I legit tried to buy it through DirecTV last night, and it's not open until I believe Friday morning is when I can actually start trying to purchase it. But it literally put the money back in my pocket. California Athletic Commission has stated that ATIS is an exhibition, so there will be no judges at ringside. There will be 8 2-minute rounds. Blood or cut stops the fight. And the most egregious rule of this all, knockouts are prohibited from both fighters. Now, I understand this simply because the one thing I have been beating my chest about through all of this is, as a fan of the 70s, 80s, and 90s heavyweights, Mike Tyson has always been a heavyweight. He was a natural heavyweight. Even going back to the 92 Olympics, he was a natural, oh, sorry, 88 Olympics, rather. He was a natural heavyweight. Roy Jones Jr. was a light heavyweight, super light heavyweight. And
light heavyweight.
Yeah. And never, like, he moved up to heavyweight, which is where he suffered his most serious losses, was at the heavyweight division, which he was not naturally in that weight class. A natural heavyweight versus a light heavyweight could cause catastrophic physical and long-term neurological damage if the wrong hit happened. And who is capable of delivering that wrong hit? The baddest man on the planet, Iron Mike Tyson. Even at 54 years old.
If that's the case, why are we even doing this?
The undercard looks way better now than the main event does. There is no way I'm buying this pay-per-view.
Again, my question, if that is the case, why are we doing this? If you're under the impression that Mike Tyson might kill a man live on pay-per-view, don't sign the fight. But don't do this. Don't do this. Because this is going to be...
And on a more hilarious, but at the same time, ooh-wee moment.
Garbage.
On Access TV this week on Impact, we saw TNA or Impact Hall of Famer Ken Shamrock, cold cock D'Lo Brown.
D'Lo didn't deserve that.
Not at all. He didn't. As an official, he did not deserve that, but he ate one. He did.
For the business, for the culture.
He ate a live short jab for the culture.
Wham!
What is that?
Night night.
That's D-Lo sleeping.
I'm like, man, you done let Wolverine knock you out,
bruh.
And Ken Shamrock really is Logan. Like, good God.
We no one expected to see that at all. And
I'm completely backing off my Brock Lesnar Ken Shamrock super match, but still. Yeah, I'm backing off of it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it now.
The last super match we're gonna see for quite some time, if it ever comes to fruition, whether it be in an octagon, whether it be in a cage, or whether it be in a wrestling ring, Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar, or when we get a crowd back, Daniel Cormier versus Brock Lesnar, or Daniel Cormier versus Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley deserves so much better. He deserves this.
Listen, and a year and a half ago, even with Lio Rush, I would not have said that Bobby Lashley deserves all of this, simply because he was getting back and just trying to get some charisma under his belt, get some character, some depth to his character. Bobby Lashley right now looks like $1 million. You can take any incarnation of Bobby Lashley and combine them, any two that you want, any three that you want over the last 15 years, and combine them, and you will not get what you're getting right now, look wise and physically, from Bobby Lashley. That man is he reeks of champion right now. Give that man something, and besides the U.S. belt. A couple more things we want to talk about before we get up out of here and start getting this this Festivus for the rest of us popping off. Next week on AEW Dynamite, they're going to pull off their own version of Clash of Champions, known as Winter is Coming. Strange tidbit of useless information here. Don't know if you're aware of this or not, but considering that AEW is on the TNT network, owned by parent company AT&T Warner Media, also home of or owners of HBO and HBO Max, Winter is Coming is the name of the new Game of Thrones, which is coming out like a prequel show or whatnot. So there's a tie-in there, I'm sure. At any rate, I digress. Let's run down this card here real quick. So they're building it all around the AEW World Championship, Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega. We don't have to do a you know hang or win, because this is the first time they're doing this, and this is, they're calling it the quote largest card for AEW Dynamite in AEW history, which has only been a little over a year. Mox versus Kenny Omega, and Kenny's back as the cleaner. I got a feeling Kenny's going to take this belt off Moxley. What you thinking?
Yeah, I kind of feel that way. They've executed the 1 year rule where they've gone ahead and they've air quotes put over whoever they're going to put over, as far as establishing new talent, and now it's time for the guys who are responsible for starting this place. It's time for them to start running with the championships.
Indeed. In a Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal, all the names you're going to have: MJF, Wardlow, Hangman Page, Sammy Guevara, John Silver, Alex Reynolds, Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Quinn, Matt Hardy, Matt Sydal, Scorpio Sky, Sean Spears, Orange Cassidy, Kip Sabian, and Miro. Who should win this match, and who you think is going to win this match?
There's so many people you just named off, I don't even care. And this is for what?
This is for basically MJF's diamond ring.
Sammy Guevara. Only because that seems like the natural progression in the storyline. It's MJF's ring. He doesn't want to lose it. He keeps him and Sammy have this weird thing, and then Sammy wins the ring, and then instead of being happy for him, he's jealous.
No one has anything to lose in this thing. Sammy definitely has the most to gain from it. That makes the most sense. I'm with Sammy.
We got to stop treating Sammy bad, because if we're not going to punish Excalibur, then why are we still punishing Sammy Guevara?
Yeah, Excalibur is that guy, and we all know how we feel about that guy.
It's not a term of endearment when we say that guy either.
Darby Allin and Cody Rhodes versus Powerhouse Hobbs, better known as Will Hobbs, better known as Ice Train Jr., and Ricky Starks, representing Team Taz. Now, before I go into detail, or before we go to a prediction on here, let me run into what happened on Dynamite tonight. Your boy Cody goes in the ring to save Taz from himself as they cut Taz's mics twice. And he threatens to go take over the announce booth and just air out and start shooting. To which Cody comes out and says, if Team Taz is so tough, and mind you, all this is over the FTW Championship not having any merit with any organization, especially the one that's in, which is AEW. He just wants just some respect to be put on the FTW Championship. To which Cody asks him, which could be a body bag.
Meh.
Speaking of body bag, Roman Reigns gets body bag award for the entire month of November. Go look at his resume. I'm just going to gloss over that because it's really that calm and that collected on the body bag. Cody asked Taz, if FTW is so tough and means so much, why is your son Hook training with me? And Taz all of a sudden thinks that that's going too far for Cody and puts him in a Taz mission. The weakest Taz mission I've ever seen, by the way, but a Taz mission nonetheless. So that said, Darby Allin, Cody Rhodes versus Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks of Team Taz.
When did we name him Powerhouse Hobbs? Like, is this not akin to Hard Work Bobby Walker? What are we doing?
He's better than you.
every time you give some people the benefit of the doubt, they do this to you. They betray the trust that you put in them by doing things like this.
And I hate to say this, this match ends in disqualification. No one needs to win this damn match. Darby and Cody, they can't even coexist together. Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks, they're makeshift at best. And Ricky Starks deserves so much better. He's the only one in this. And so does Darby. In fact, I'd rather see Darby and Ricky together versus seeing this in a tag match.
Ricky's been doing such a good job as a heel. I don't think you want to beat him right now because he might be top three heel they have on all television right now.
Sleeper match of the night. And with a combined 57 years of in-ring experience.
That's entirely too much.
And never wrestled each other one-on-one. Frankie Kazarian versus Chris Jericho. And I'm sorry, that 57 years was with Christopher Daniels, but this has got to be pretty damn close to that 57 years as well. But this is the first time they've gone head-to-head with each other, and they actually wrestled together at the same time in WWE. So,
I'm not excited for that.
But I think it's going to be a good match. I think Kazarian's going over, too.
Just what?
Yeah, I think Kazarian's going to sneak one in. And it's probably going to have to do with Scorpio Sky.
If he sneak one in, it's going to be in his luggage on an airplane.
Don't do that.
I'm just saying, if he's going to sneak one in, it's going to be there because he's not sneaking one in on television.
In a women's ratings grabber, Britt Baker versus Layla Hirsch. And I don't really think that anything matters in this one at all, other than the fact that it's just an opportunity for Britt Baker to get back into the women's title hunt.
Unenthused.
So far, that's your card, and I'm sure they'll probably add another match or two. On another note, as we get out of here, hate to do this on a sad note, but this one is very critical. Yesterday, on Wednesday, November 25th, we lost Bob Ryder. For those of you not in the know, Bob Ryder was one of the original founders, along with Jeff and Jerry Jarrett, of TNA Impact Wrestling. He was also one of the owners of OneWrestling.com, a website that was dedicated for wrestling news, that was had Bill Lapter a part of it. Joey Styles was an owner at one point. Even Mike Johnson of PW Insider was also, he got his start on the online scene at OneWrestling.com. He was found dead in his home following a battle with cancer yesterday in Nashville, Tennessee. And we will go out the right way with him with a 10-bell salute as we take it home for the holidays. So, rest in peace, Bob Ryder. And I think that'll do it for us. Wav, what you think?
I'm good with it.
Cool. Check your streaming outlets for Swavtoberfest 2, the EP, and Super Swavtoberfest Plus coming on Cyber Monday.
Help you shop online.
You may even get a sneak peek in at a random time of Super Swavtoberfest Plus on TheBeastRadio.com during the blackout, the no-whack blackout Friday that we're going to be having going on. And on that note, Swab, take us to the house.
Pencil pushers, heads up, pencils down.
The Broken Pencil Booking Company, a pro wrestling podcast infused with hip hop. Available on all streaming platforms, including TheBeastRadio.com.